Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, August 20th, about 1 hour pre-equity market close. And it is just myself today, so let's go ahead and dive right on in. Looking over the last 5 trading days, we had some volatility to the downside. S&P down 1 3/4, Dow down almost 2, NASDAQ down 2 3/4, Russell down 2%, and then we have oil up 7%. So the same kind of strategy and market moves that we've been seeing essentially this entire year, ever since February, is still very much in play. What we're looking at here is an increase in oil prices, therefore a decrease in the market. We've seen this happen time and time again, so this is not anything new. When something happens again next week and the market is able to recover down off of that, that's kind of what we have our eyes set on for. So we're not going to spend too much time on the market because other than that, not too much happened in the market. It was just comes down because oil went higher, but that's okay. And we're actually going to jump right on into Carl's Corner. There's a lot more to discuss today in that realm. So what we have, September is now fully not anticipating a market rate hike, which is fantastic, exactly what we anticipated. And now October is not anticipating a rate hike, exactly what we're anticipating. We had a feeling that whether it be the Fed or it actually looks like the Treasury, I'll get to that in a second, did not want to have an increase in rates until after this election. So December is still the highest probability of the short-term Fed meetings where there could be a rate hike. And this goes along with the fact that we have a little bit of a cooler inflation happening, but those come month over month and year over year. And we had ceasefires on, ceasefires off. So these numbers are not consistent and can't really be used, which I do think is part of the strategy out there with the administration to try to keep inflation cool, is to kind of go through this on again, off again system. And then when the ceasefire officially ended, we saw oil move very quickly in the upward direction. The other main thing that happened was the Treasury, and that's not to be confused with the Fed is not the Treasury Department, but the Treasury Department, the one who issues the bills, notes, and T-bonds, went out and started buying back some of those bonds. Now, what does that mean exactly? Typically, a treasury bond sits on an investor's portfolio in their statements for however long you hold it. You don't typically sell those short. You buy them for the safety of the fact that you're investing in the US government. The US government economy technically has never failed. So it's one of the safer investments that are out there to be able to put your money in. And so when they say, as of this moment, you can get 4% a year on a treasury bill, if they go out and say, okay, well, you can hold it for 30 years, you'll make 5% a year. Well, holding that for 30 years and there's no trade, when there's no trading happening, as we all know, the market, whether it be the bond or the equity market, is just a giant system of buyers and sellers. I think it's worth $10. This guy's selling it for $10. I'll buy it for $10. I'm going to hold it for a little bit. I think it's worth $11 now. That guy's willing to buy it for $11, so I move it over. Bonds and long-term debt instruments like bonds and CDs, the longer you go out, the less trading there is. So there's not a whole lot of movement in there. And what happens is the banks have these on their balance sheets, and they can only write that off for so long before they can't do anything else with it on their system. And so it kind of gets a little clunky, and the Treasury steps in, buys it off of them. Now, the Treasury bonds are still active, but now it's under the Treasury Department, not necessarily underneath Goldman Sachs or whoever owns that T-bill at that time. And so that is something that the Treasurer was doing. Another reason for that, besides just to kind of clean up the fact that there was no buyers, there was really no market, and there needs to be liquidity in the market, especially when it comes to treasuries, which is why the treasuries step in. The other thing that this does is it artificially decreases interest rates. And I think that is one of the key things that the Treasury was doing when they bought some of these back and took some of these bonds off the market. Because when you artificially decrease the interest rate, which is what we're seeing in real time with these probability shifts. Because last week, when I looked at these, there was still a possibility or a good possibility of October. Now that has shifted to December. This one move was able to shift it an entire 2 months, an entire Fed meeting before the next possible interest rate hike, which allows the Iranian conflict oil to resolve itself, which allows time for inflation to cool officially and resolve itself to maybe where there wouldn't be a rate hike. And then we can just hold rates for, say, another 6 months or a year and let everything kind of settle in before inflation gets cooled enough underneath the rates and they can start cutting rates like they were going to at the beginning part of this year. Because that's one thing that we harped on very big and we talked about a lot going into the beginning of 2026, end of 2025, was that we believed there was supposed to be a rate cut. The probability showed a rate cut. Inflation has cooled. Everything was good. But when oil comes up, oil has a direct conflict with inflation. It touches everything in the market. We've gone over that a lot, which completely shifted the entire interest rate economy and the probability sectors, which is why once that came out, we made the pivots in the portfolio away from a lot of the super interest rate sectors and industries, super sensitive to those, to more stabilized investments when it comes to the market and equities inside of those. And that's one of the things we do, right? We look at the macros, we see interest rate inflation, what's happening there. Big shift in geopolitical, we shift. And that's what we were able to see and we were able to take advantage of for this year. But going back to the treasuries and how that worked, the treasuries, what they did was they contacted the banks and said, hey, I see you have $10 billion in 30-year bonds on your books. No one's really selling those, but what we're going to do is we're going to buy those back. And they're going to keep them active off to the side here. But then we're going to start reissuing shorter term treasuries because shorter term treasuries are very liquid. They have a lot of buyers and sellers. It happens all the time because a lot of people do buy T-bills or treasury bills in 3 month increments. They buy them quarterly or they buy them semi-annually, hold them for a little bit. You still get the 2%. That's going to be a 4% annum. You get 2%. It's a very common strategy that's called laddering. You can do it with CDs, you can do it with treasuries. But that's what the Treasury wanted to do. That's what the Treasury Department wanted to do. They wanted to be able to bring the flows back in. So they took the bonds that had no market off the market and just bought them back themselves. And now they're reintroducing shorter terms to keep up the liquidity of the treasuries. All that means at the end of the day, and this is kind of one of the things that Scott and I look into and try to digest and realize what we can do with the portfolios for it. What this means is a shift down to the probabilities of a rate hike, to the possibility of no rate hike, all depending on inflation, which means that we're able to hold the portfolio stance as we have it for another month or another few weeks, depending on what happens. Like I said, we're all very fluid. We keep our head on a swivel. And once we see something substantial happen, whether it be a full ceasefire end or a time frame of existing or whatever that is, there's something out there and we're going to be able to sit there and pivot. And we have three different strategies we're ready to dive into depending on what happens. But that's kind of everything that we've been looking at. That's the big things that's been driving the market the last couple of days. That's why you saw a giant increase yesterday and then a kind of reduction back in today. But I know that was a lot of information. If you think anyone might enjoy this market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app, the Podbean radio app. And as Scott would say, we look forward to doing this again next week, and you hope everyone has a good Friday and weekend.